This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM's Morning Run with me, Khoo Soo Chuang and Wong Xiao Ning. In about half an hour, we'll talk to Boon Negara of the Institute of the Strategic and International Studies at the G7 summit that's ongoing right now. But in the meantime, global markets.
Well, it's a tale of two halves because the US markets were all down. The Dow was down 1.6%, S&P 500 down 2%, while the Nasdaq was down a whopping 3%. Meanwhile, in Asia, Nikkei was up 0.7%. Hang Seng and the Shanghai Composite Index were both up 0.9%. Straits Times Index in Singapore up 0.1%. And our very own FBM KLCI was up 1.2%.
Yep. So to discuss international markets, we now turn to Jeffrey Haley, a senior market analyst at Owenda. Jeff, good morning. Now, if you can make sense of the drop in the US markets of between 1.5% to 3% last night, obviously they turned sour on the back of US consumer confidence reports that suggested the buoyant retail outlook seems to be declining and quite rapidly. What's your opinion on the longevity of this decline in confidence?
Well, I think it was more the longevity of the rally last week. So it's clear that the stock market's going through some gyrations at the moment as it tries to decide which way the US economy really is going. Last week, for example, if we'd had that consumer confidence number that we saw overnight, the market's rationale would have been a lower terminal Fed funds rate, and they would have bought equities. This week, the same sort of data comes out and they go and sell equities. So they're very much chasing their tails at the moment. It seems inevitable that with a very hawkish Fed and these entrenched inflation around the world, that we are going to see a slowdown in the US economy. That won't be a good environment for equities, even if the Federal Reserve doesn't have to hike as much. And so last week's price action looked like more like a bear market rally. And I'm actually quite surprised it's run out of steam as soon as it has.
Yeah, Jeff, so from one forward indicator to now a lagging indicator, and I think Wednesday we'll see US Q2 GDP being reported. What are your expectations in terms of the impact that the tightening has had on the economy from this indicator?
I think with the market in a negative frame of mind, if that number comes out a bit soft tonight, then they may well sell equities once again. As I said last week, if that had come out soft, they'd have said less Fed tightening and they'd have bought equities. But that seems to have run out of momentum now. So we are expecting US GDP, it's actually for the final for Q1 to fall by, I think it's around 1.5% Q on Q. So if we see a number worse than that, we may be in for another round of equity selling again as the street starts pricing in a US recession.
Okay, it's actually really a case of the same glass, but some looking at it as being half full and then sometimes it's half empty,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But Jeff, I want to know, if you really wanted to hide and if you thought that markets were going to correct, is there any sector that you see perhaps a little bit more recession-proof because tech has been beaten down and cyclicals aren't doing well at all at the moment?
Yeah, look, we've seen cyclicals come off a little bit as well. We've seen resource prices fall over the course of the June, and that's taken some of the edge out of that. Look, in a stagflation environment, or even if you want to call it a recession, there's really no wonderful standout choices. I think what listeners might want to do is to be more overweight cash than they would normally be. Bless me. Sorry about that. They want to be more overweight cash at the moment. And then you're looking at sectors, I believe, that are where people have to purchase the products no matter whether it's a recession or not. So that brings you back to energy, that brings you back to water, electricity, that brings you back to consumer staples, say supermarkets where people buy food, or food production itself, agriculture. These sort of sectors are probably, and in fact have proven to be more resilient than technology. Technology is going to be very vulnerable to swings in sentiment over the next few months.
Yeah, Jeff, in the course of speaking to market commentators like yourself, some fund managers have cash as high as 30% of the portfolio. What kind of weightage do you apportion to cash at this point in time?
Yeah, look, I know it's a high inflation environment and thus holding cash doesn't make a lot of sense in some ways, but you want to be cashed up in order to take advantage of opportunities. And it seems to me that the direction of travel at the moment for stock markets is still to unwind more of this 2020-2021 rally, in which case you want to have the chance to actually take a longer term positions at better prices. So I think, you know, holding above 30 to 40% cash is an unreasonable, and nobody ever went broke taking a profit, and you're not going to lose your house by holding lots of cash, if that makes sense. So being heavily overweight cash, I think, is the right way to deal with markets at the moment.
Yeah, Jeff, we're just a couple of days away from the third quarter, and of course there is still a sense that the second half of 22 might be a turnaround, a bit of a rally going to the end of the year. What's your sense of that particular development happening?
You know, we're in a, well, I would call it a stagflationary environment. I mean, the markets are dismissing that China's actually overcome Omicron now and life is all good and blissful. But as we all know, outside of China, that hasn't been the case with Omicron. So I think there's still a risk that China, if it has another big series of outbreaks, could very quickly switch that COVID zero policy back to a much more restrictive one. That will crimp growth. Clearly, the US may well be selling, slowing down. We're seeing the Ukraine-Russia situation. That's not going away anytime soon. And those stagflationary impacts of that situation will be with us for a long time. None of that, to me, adds up to a great environment for equity markets, especially if we start seeing sharp slowdowns in various parts of the world, such as the United States and in Europe, where it's already happening. So I think it's going to be a challenging environment for stock markets in the second half of the year. And, you know, that will be the direction of travel.
Mm. Okay, Jeff, you mentioned China just a second ago, but there was news that came out last night that says that they're going to reduce the quarantine for inbound travellers, but of course still sticking to their COVID zero policy. Do you think this is enough to cheer markets, or is it just going to be a very short-term rally that we saw last evening?
I think it's going to be a short-term rally, because the reality is you've still got to spend a week plus a few days at home in an extremely expensive quarantine hotel. Also, to me, the risk definitely is, as I mentioned before, that Omicron reappears again, as it has everywhere else in the world, and that China pivots once again to much more strict COVID zero policies, and that could include also extending quarantine, but we could see another big series of lockdowns. We shouldn't become complacent about China's COVID zero policy. None of that will be good for China's economy, but also for growth around the region.
One thing I did notice, Jeff, earlier in the year, Southeast Asian markets, particularly Jakarta, Singapore, outperformed. And even now, I mean, on a relative basis, still outperforming global markets. Do you think this trend will continue?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the reason for that is this the resource base. So if you look at, say, Malaysia, Indonesia, to a certain extent, Singapore, because it's obviously a facilitator of this entire Asia-Pacific region, ASEAN region, I mean, resources have done very well this year, and I believe they will continue to do so. These shortages in demand aren't going to just evaporate. So, yeah, while everybody will be heading downwards, I think some markets will be heading less lower than others. And I think in that respect, the cyclical markets of ASEAN, particularly the ones we've just talked about, are set to outperform on a relative basis still.
Yeah, and Jeff, nonetheless, though, inflation, you know, does continue to permeate the region. We saw those exact rising input costs affect Taiwan and South Korea, who have had to raise domestic electricity prices. Do you fear that Asia might be facing the kind of energy crisis that Europe is experiencing right now?
I don't think it's necessarily an energy crisis, because not a lot of Asia doesn't feel obliged to follow the US and European lead on the Russia situation. I mean, we're seeing China and India buying lots and lots of very heavily discounted Russian oil at the moment. So I don't necessarily feel that we're in for an energy crunch. We're not all going to go down the road of Sri Lanka, whose reasons it's in that situation aren't related necessarily to the cost of living crisis that we're seeing in other parts of the world. So I think what we have to accept is that prices aren't coming down. and the rebound in oil speaks volumes to that one, I believe. So we will face an environment of a rising cost of living, but I don't foresee an energy crisis.
Right. Thanks so much for your time, Jared. That was Geoffrey Haley, senior market analyst for Oanda. And obviously, there's a silver lining to this playbook is the fact that the region that we live in is a bit of a positivity one.
And cash is no longer trash.
Yeah. I mean, was it Peter Raschel? We talked about 30% he's holding in his portfolio. I mean, that's a lot.
I think increasingly fund managers, just because there is no asset class that's outperforming. So in the meantime, just keep your cash. At least if you keep in the Fed fund rate, you know, you're going to get 2 to 3% for the moment.
No longer trash. Right, 7:16. After this, we'll come back with an Anis Farid of Women's Aid Organisation on why women are delaying getting married. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.